You need to freaking talk to somebody as soon as possible. And so I talked to people that I trust, right? And I talked to this mentor in my life, and I was like, dude, this is what's going on, and I can't understand it. And he was like, oh, that's easy. Like, I know what's going on. And I was like, well, what? And he was like, why? I know your background. I know you came from a trailer park. I know you lived on food stamps. And like, your drive in life and your goal in life was like to have success. He was like, and you found it. Congratulations. But that's not enough. I was like, well, I don't know what you mean, right? I was younger then. I was like, I really didn't. I was too dumb and naive to understand what he was talking about. And he's like, look, Josh, success is something that happens to you, like through hard work. He's like, you've got to take it to the next step, and you've got to find a way to create significance. And significance is working through you to impact other people. And that conversation happened, I don't know, like 10, 12 years ago now, right? And so, like, we all do. I spent the next 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, like, how do I create significance? And I'm thinking about, like, every night before I go to bed, well, how do I impact other people's lives? And thankfully, and joyfully, I've had the ability to do that through a couple of different endeavors. And but that's really my passion here for Avani. That's really what's driving me every day to do what we do. Is build something that's really cool that can have a significant impact on other people's lives, specifically in healthcare.
That's awesome. It sounds like you've had a really diverse life, man. And that's always great because it helps you see things from a lot of different perspectives, especially coming up from having nothing or less than the average person to try to succeed and then finding that success and realizing, hey, now what? You know,
Yeah,
that's
right.
I don't think a lot of people realize that either, coming from that kind of a background, because I grew up pretty less than fortunate when I was growing
Right.
up with my parents. So like I get it. And then once you start to get things together, it's like, now what do I do? Now I know that you said that this is like a really big passion thing for you, something to help give back and provide a better life for the people in general in related to Ravani. And how are you trying to do that with Ravani? Like what is Ravani?
Yeah, great question. And we're trying to do that in a couple of different ways. And I know the sexy thing to do, but I'm not gonna do it, all right? So because that's not authentic to me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So I know the sexy thing to do is just make this like all about like blockchain rewards, and we're gonna help people make a bunch of money and help change lives. And there is a component of that, don't get me wrong. But as I explain and describe like what we're doing and who we are, not all of it's super sexy, and not all of it impacts like Web3, right? So, as transparent as I can be, when Ravani kicked off, we were like more of a metaverse gaming project, actually. And so I came into this space as an angel investor into the project. And then I ended up kind of taking the project over. This was years ago now, brought in, outside capital, built out a beautiful metaverse in 4K. With some designers that helped design out a whole lot of like Fortnite. So, but what happened is that the narrative changed in the space, right? Like metaverse wasn't really cool and sexy anymore, and like gaming started to get a little bit of a black eye because of some nefarious activity that was happening. So we were like, all right, well, we clearly need to do something here. So our idea was quite a bit different than everybody else's. We always had a healthcare arm inside of the metaverse. We always had an educational college component inside of the metaverse. So we already had a lot of traction going on. So when we decided to go, our go-to-market strategy, when that became healthcare forward, that's when I went to work and started putting together some of the partnerships that we have now. And so my biggest concern as a business operator is always having a healthy business, right? The problem with a lot of Web3 projects, if I'm being honest, is that they launch with no business fundamentals whatsoever. Like they're just hoping and praying the token takes off and they can grab some money out of it and go build what they need to build, right? My brain, it's impossible for my brain to even operate that way. So what I did instead was I developed a partnership in the real world where I bought three medical clinics here in Texas. And so I'm sitting in one of them right now, they're fully operational. We're taking patients. They have a med spa component too, where we're doing a bunch of wellness activities inside of it also. But we structured it in a way to fix healthcare for people in real life. So the problem with healthcare in real life here in the United States, here in Texas, is if you move to this area, it's going to take you about anywhere between 10 to 12 weeks to have your first appointment with your primary doctor. That's absurd. That's not okay. The second piece is people come to the clinic, schedule an appointment. They often sit in a waiting room for at least an hour because the doctors aren't on time. And when they do finally get pulled back into a room, they spend like, 3 to 7 minutes with their provider. That's it. And they get their prescription and they walk out the door. That's crazy to me. That's the most broken thing that I've seen. We've set up a membership.
Otherwise, you're going to an urgent care. And
yeah, you're going to urgent care, which like, my wife has done with our kids many times, right? Many times. So we've set up something completely different. We have a membership clinic. So in order to participate with us, you've got to pay a monthly fee to even access our services. And so, but we've capped the number of members to make sure that every single time a patient comes in, they have 24/7 access. We give them telehealth access. They have same day appointments guaranteed. And they get to spend time with their provider, 25 minutes with the actual doctor every single visit that they come in, if they want that, right? Sometimes it's not necessary. So we did that in order to drive cash flow and drive revenue, so that our token, when it launches, is actually worth something, that there's something underneath that that's actually building cash flow and building revenue. And it also helps us build some of our other projects in AI and stuff like that. But we can get there. So that's how we started, is in real life, real healthcare business. I'm licensed across 46 states. I work with 160 different insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, you name it, right?
That's awesome. And the only concern I would have, like hearing you talk about that level of care and availability, is scale. Because one of the reasons why doctors are so long of a wait, you've got 10 weeks, 12 weeks. One, they don't work great hours, you know, and there's also a lot more people in a given area than there are typically doctors or practices operating. So how do you guys scale up to provide for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that is one of our models. In addition to that, we have a telehealth business that goes over 46 states, right? And so that is launched. We have a lot of different providers inside of that network. And people that want telehealth are operating in a completely different mindset. They want a quick conversation. They want to figure out what's going on. They want to have a conversation with their provider, and they want to get on with their lives, right? And so we afford that opportunity. And so but what happens in the healthcare, we're going to get to blockchain. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening in blockchain. But we'll camp here for just a minute. So physicians' problems is exactly what you said. We're working with a bunch of them, right? And my dad's a physician. I've launched a dictation-based EMR, EHR, which is an electronic health records in the past in Nashville, Tennessee. Like, I know doctors. I know how they operate. I know what they invest in. I know what makes them happy. These guys come out of school, out of college, being great providers in healthcare in a lot of cases. Nobody teaches them how to run a business. They don't know how to market. They don't know what software is or how it works. They don't understand accounting. They don't understand any of those things. And so what we do is we take our entire technology stack, including our AI, including our blockchain, and we park that into the back end of their physician practices. And so we actually, on top of our own clinics, we partner. It's called an MSO. It's a marketing services organization. And then physicians have something called a PSO, which is a physicians group. And so we partner with them to scale, to give them our back end office, our AI, our software, our accounting systems, our billing company, all of that. That's one of the ways that we're able to scale quickly.
Okay, that's pretty cool. And so now I know that you mentioned the blockchain aspect, and we've talked a lot about the healthcare aspect. Yeah. You mentioned that you're going to be launching a token, and I love the fact, like you said, a lot of people come into medical and they don't know how to run a business. They're really great providers and stuff like that. Yeah. They'll sign on with a practice or a hospital or whatever, but then they don't know how to run the business. And that's a lot of the issue that we end up seeing in Web3. We have great people coming in with really cool ideas, know how to run those, but then they have no idea how to incorporate blockchain into it.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. How are you guys going to be bringing blockchain to healthcare then?
Excellent question. I'm gonna pivot for a moment, not because I don't respect the question, but I think it's necessary to get the holistic picture of what's going on. So what I know to be true, and what bothers me, is we're geographically located in certain areas within, let's call it, 10-mile radius of our actual clinics. That's problematic for me. I can't have an impact on people's healthcare and wellness globally if I'm geographically concentrated, right? So knowing that was the case, and knowing that I wanted to take, there's so much disinformation in healthcare. And pharmaceutical companies are driving a bunch of it, and I don't want to go too deep on this, right? But the information is kind of scary out there. What's being withheld from the public and how that world operates. And I have a bit of a righteous indignation against that, right? I think people deserve to know the truth. A Freedom of Information Act is great, but not if the information isn't actually flowing, the right information. So so what I did was I partnered with a ton of different health experts. So I've got a 3-time fellowship trained cardiologist. I have oncologists. I have people that live here in the U.S. that have been trained in Eastern medicine, over in Japan, over in China. And so I wanted to bring the best of Western medicine and Eastern medicine together and give everybody complete and full access to that, right? The easiest way to do that is just through like a bit of a wellness app, okay? So we've been building and training our AI agents in healthcare and in wellness for about 19 months, like pretty hardcore. And we've been digging up research papers and everything you can possibly imagine. And so I've got this thing built out, but I didn't like it, which is nuts to say because it's incredibly robust, right? I can give people specific diets based upon blood type. Like, it's very, very, very specific. But I still didn't like it because the problem is, our AI agents still don't know the person that they're interacting with. They don't know anything, right? It's just coming into a blank slate, and you got to be like, well, here's my weight, and here's my blood pressure, and here's my BMI. Well, a lot of people don't know those things about themselves. So this we pulled off through a partnership, actually, which I'm insanely excited about, a partnership out of Israel and Europe. It was a joint venture. And so what we have done is we have what we're excited about is almost everybody has a cell phone, right? Android, iPhones, they're pretty global at this point and have been for a while. And every single one of those cell phones has a camera on it. And so what we have is a piece of technology that's backed by AI that utilizes your front-facing phone camera, takes a 30-second video clip of your face, and it gives me 30 different health markers that are within a 0.05% variance of going into a medical clinic. So meaning that I can tell anybody on here in 30 seconds exactly what their heart rate is, exactly what their BMI is, what their stress index level is. I have 30 different metrics there. And so now when they do that scan and we have that data, we have that information on who they are, all that's on chain, by the way. Then all of a sudden, my AI agent has 30 different things to look at and go, oh, crap, like, we know what's going on here, right? And then the conversation starts. I'm having trouble sleeping. I want to lose weight. I want to put on 5 pounds of muscle, like whatever that is. Now the AI has actual true information about you to be able to help from a healthcare and wellness perspective.
Okay. Huh.
It's freaking cool, bro. Yeah. It's freaking cool.
Like, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I was like, you know what? What's my heart rate?
No, nobody knows. Like nobody knows, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, like, and there's a lot of wearables out there, right? And we deal with wearables too. We have from the clinical side with U.S. healthcare at this stage. So whether it's a Fitbit, whether it's an Apple Watch, and then we work with like McKesson, who's a huge like distributor of healthcare goods here in the United States. We connect with a lot of different wearables for something called RPM and CCM, which is just a weird technical term in healthcare. It means chronic care management, meaning that you have chronic conditions that you want to get monitored constantly, or RPM, which is remote patient monitoring, right? Where we're doing true real-time monitoring of people's health conditions remotely, right, through these wearables. And all that's really cool and all that's really great, but it's really expensive. Like, if you don't have good insurance to pay for this, it's really expensive. And so are a lot of wearables, even watches and Fitbits. Like, okay, you can connect with our app, go buy a $180 watch first. That's a big ask for my...
And that's the basic watches.
That's the basic one, yeah. That's the basic one.
Yeah. I noticed that. And then even, like, with like, full body scanning is something that they've started doing now. Check all the cancer issues or potentially whatever. Yep. But that's, like, a $5,000 trip out of pocket most of time because there's no actual, like, justifiable reason to do it through insurance.
That, for sure. That's right, yeah. Yeah, sadly, I cannot scan for cancer on a front-facing iPhone camera, but we'll see what
happens. Well, let's see what the future brings, right?
Yeah, like, we're not that good.
Oh, man. So
you asked a question I didn't answer, but I felt like that needed to be stated because that's the tech piece and the AI piece of our company, and I just wanted to make sure that got out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's all very amazing information. It's something to think about, like how in depth you guys really thought this out and the process that you guys have to like helping to diagnose, give people notifications if they do have issues that they have to get into the doctor for as soon as possible, or if they should even come to the clinic and go straight to the hospital, because sometimes there are cases like that where you don't realize. Like, how many times people have strokes and don't realize they're having a stroke? Like, it's insane.
So many. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we can definitely go back and revisit that question on how Ravani's integrating blockchain into all of this cool stuff. Like, I can see it from, like, the Ledger perspective for patient data, recording metrics, querying stuff, almost like a database, you know? Yep. But either transparent or privatized. See, one of the cool things I've been seeing is like people talking with like DeSci about like permissioned access to blockchain records for patient data for quick, easy access. Yeah. So like it sends my mind in all these different rabbit holes, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, that's the that becomes interesting and a bit of a tricky part about it, right? So I'm never going to inflate what we're capable of doing or what we can do. I can talk about what we hope to be true. And it's not because we don't have a capability. It's because of government interference in our way in some cases, right? And so let's just talk about what we're doing now and the direction that we're capable of going and then where we want to get to. So step one is all the research that we're pulling in to the wellness AI is that all of that is going to be on chain once the token launches. Okay. So working with a bunch of physicians around the globe to be able to feed us more data and information about whether it's maybe it's a peptide, right? I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast just last night. I listened to not all of them, but whenever I have time, which, you know, man, if you're launching something, you're an operator, you don't have 4 hours to sit down and listen to somebody. But it was a really cool conversation. I think it might have been, last Wednesday or last Thursday. It wasn't from this week. But they had this dude on there that was just brilliant on peptides, right? Absolutely brilliant on it. And so, like, if he can feed us information on peptides and what it can do, like, all that will be on chain, and he'll get rewards for providing us that information. All of our AI agents inside of the wellness app, 100% on chain. By the way, that data doesn't even come to us. That's an instance on your own phone of the AI running. I don't want your information. And so all of that is on chain and
so it's like temporary chat, yeah. Basically. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, cool. And then all that stays on chain.
That's correct. All that stays on chain. So for our own patients here, for their electronic health records, we're placing those on chain, their PHI. Okay, that's easy with your own patients. The problem is that let's say that we have to refer somebody over to a specialist, right? Well, if that specialist isn't using our blockchain, then you can't pass the data to them. There's no way for them to access it, right? And so we have limited availability on what we can do with that information on chain based upon our connections out into the healthcare ecosystem. It's kind of bizarre, actually. So I've been, again, passionate about investing in healthcare technology for a while. I bought a piece of technology out. It was a fellowship project out of the University of Oklahoma. It came out of I just drew a blank. What's his degree in? Bio. Oh my gosh. Whatever. I can't think of it. It's been a long time. I mean, I gave this dude money like friggin' 9 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But he had something really cool. He had a patent on an RNA and DNA extraction method. And I was like, that's really cool. I want to own that. And so I bought a big piece of that at that time. And so what we're doing now is we can do sequencing, RNA and DNA sequencing through a patented extraction method of getting this RNA and DNA. And all of that is going on chain. And so here's the beauty of that, right? Is that in the world of healthcare, you have information that you have from a clinic perspective, right? You might go get labs done for blood work, right? You might get your weight done and you have a visit with your doctor, your provider. But they don't know what's going on inside of your body and the proclivities that you might have. Like any diseases that is just cooked into your RNA and DNA. So when we combine genome sequencing, RNA and DNA sequencing, which we do with all of our patients, by the way. And so now all of a sudden we have their background of exactly what they have going on inside of their body, right, from a genome perspective. And then we can match that up with the clinical expertise that we have here, which is a beautiful combination because then we can provide the most well-rounded wellness we can. Like, I'm not interested in giving out Band-Aids. I'm interested in fixing problems. So all of that is on chain. All of our DNA, all of our RNA is all on chain as well. What we would like to get to is full insurance health records on the blockchain is what we would like to see here in the United States. There are a couple of large companies, multi-billion dollar insurance companies that are pushing this narrative right now. I believe they will get that done. And they have the amount of money and they have the lobbyists to pull it off. I can't do this endeavor by myself. It's impossible. So what I have done is I've partnered with them and I think it was like a $2,500 fee or something to be part of their inside team or whatever, to get like access to their information first, to be able to, you know, share data back and forth. My guess is they're going to pull that off in the next 18 to 24 months. And then at that stage, then the U.S. health market can be on chain. And we'll already be a big player on that because our technology stack is already prepared for this and already utilizing this. So I think it gives us an incredible opportunity to spread our MSO really quick because everybody's going to be trying to figure out a way of like, oh my gosh, like this is really cool. How do we get on chain? Nobody's going to actually know how to do it, right? And so in a way, like I view ourselves as a bit of an incubator in that respect, where we understand the game, we know how to get people there and convert them as fast as possible.
Trailblazing.
Man,
creating a path for other people. Dude,
I'm going to be honest with you. It's so funny that you said that. Trailblazers, they tend to get attacked by the Indians and die on the trail, right? So you've got, yeah. I'm just being real. It's the most dangerous activity when you're out there blazing a brand new trail. And so I try to temper that as much as possible with real activities that we can, like, again, that we can already drive revenue with, right? That's a great example of a great idea guy that just goes out there and blazes a trail and hopes and prays for the best. I have that piece in me that's broken that really enjoys doing that. But about 70% of my effort is concentrated on real business and real cash flow. And then I'll go blaze a trail with like 30% of my brain and 30% of my cash, like, you know, some of the resources that we have. So, but there is an element to that. Yeah. But it's dangerous, man. It's always a little bit dangerous, yeah. But it's super fun, right?
No risk, like, no reward, though.
Yeah. The rewards. yeah. You got to be bold. You definitely have to be bold.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people think no risk, no reward. When I say no risk, no reward, I don't just mean it financially. Like, I have a saying for me, right? Because I'm a gamer, right? Like, my slogan is, like, playing games and chasing change. And I say the change part, but I also mean it as in, like, innovation and progressing the industry. And that's what a lot of people don't think about when they think about the reward. Because the reward is, like, also helping to develop healthcare for people, provide access to services, to help reshape, like, the structure of healthcare in underdeveloped or developing countries. So the reward is huge. It's not just financial. Which is awesome. Yeah.
Hey, how long is this chat? How long do we have? I don't even know.
We have, honestly, I'm down. I'm down to run for 2 hours if you guys want to chat for 2 hours. But we have it sectioned for 1 hour. I have no engagements after this, so you guys are more than welcome to hang out as long as you want. The community's used to me running 2-3 hour events sometimes, so these guys are usually down for it. That's why I don't usually rush it. I know I try to be respectful of the team's time because usually they only schedule like an hour block, but so you did mention the token before. And I know that you're focused on building out the revenue aspect, real world application and stuff like that. But you're waiting on the blockchain aspect so that you have revenue and you don't have to rely on a TGE or tokenomics or whatever. That's right. But when you do build out the token, what's the purpose of the token going to be? How are you going to integrate that?
Straight like utility token and rewards token pool, right? So we've... I'm not a huge tokenomics guy. I mean, I've been in Web3 for a total of, I'd say, 6 years now, probably. And so I definitely review projects for sure. I definitely review white papers for sure. But probably half of your audience probably knows more about different projects and how they're structured more than myself, if I'm being honest. Like, I rely on experts on my team to give me that information. You can't be all things for sure.
Yeah.
So, but the way that we have it structured is, so I played in the trenches for a while. Maybe I should give a little background. Jumped into the trenches for a while, did for anything from pump.fun to, you know, played in the Trump coin, the Melania coin. I played on all the different chains, mostly because I think it's fun. I think it's cool. I love the industry, so I'm going to participate in it. The other reason is it's a bit of an educational process for me too, to just get in there and just figure out what these projects are doing, how they're doing it, like what's the communication like to their group, what's making these tokens run, what's making them fail, right? So gathering all that kind of data for myself. It's one thing to like hear it from people or read about it. It's another to have your money participate in it, right? It's a better lesson. So I did a lot of that, and I think what I recognized for a lot of projects that are doing it's called a TGE event, right? A new
token generation event,
trying to make something happen, is they don't really have a ton in a lot of cases bolstering the token, right? And having real world assets bolstering that token, I think, is important. I view it as a publicly traded company, if I'm being honest, right? What are your assets? What are your cash flow? What's making this token have value? Outside of that, it just becomes an emotional experience. Do people think it's cool and you're going to do something awesome? The token freaking explodes, right? Cool. Like, I get all that. So what how we designed our tokenomics and what I wanted to see happen was I wanted to make sure that my token holders had an opportunity to have some assurance. I'm not going to say insurance, but assurance. They were investing in a good project and a good token that was worthwhile, right? And whether that was providing staking rewards for people or whether that was making sure that they understood that my token, you know, it wasn't gonna do a 30x and then implode, like, you know, the very next day or the very next week. Is that we're taking...
Yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
No,
probably an awesome insight here.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the issue, is most of them just launch and implode. And I feel like it's kind of how we've shaped the industry, is that people like tend to run for TGE for as long as possible to generate that attention and revenue as they're going to TGE or to a mint or something. And then they end up imploding after the TGE, but they expected that. And I have mixed feelings about the industry lately. I love blockchain,
I know. It's inevitable. Like, and I've seen this across so many industries, right? I saw this in healthcare. I saw this in the hedge fund space like crazy, right? When you get into financial instruments, things get real weird. The latest thing I saw this in was in solar. Right. So I built a pretty large renewable energy business, solar and a little bit of wind, about 20% wind, built a large company, doing $40 million a year in revenue. I had no investors. I had no debt. I mean, it was a solid company. But here's what happens, right? What happened is people got greedy. And it's crazy. And the way this greed looks is, I'll tell you what actually demoralized that industry here in the U.S. I sold my company, by the way, like 3.5 years ago. But here's what I saw. I saw two things. One, interest rates were just changing, right? And that's always interesting whenever you're providing loans to consumers, because nobody buys a $40,000 solar system outright. They finance these things. What happened was some of the lending banks that were lending to consumers, and then some of the larger companies, I'm not going to say them by name because it doesn't matter, but very large alarm companies that went door to door selling alarms saw the opportunity in the solar space, started buying all these solar companies, training all these solar reps, put them in a room for 3 days, gave them a script, and they went knocking door to door to door to door all over the freaking United States, right? Lying to customers, like just the most nefarious conversations in industry that I loved, that I was passionate about helping people and saving money on electricity and having renewable source of energy from the sun. I loved all of it until they bastardized everything in that entire industry because of greed, right?
But that's how it usually works. It's terrible.
It's sad.
But you always have to increase the profit of the shareholder, and the CEO always wants an increased salary. Always making more money. And it's when is enough enough? Like, if you capped a business at a certain revenue and you're reaching out and you're growing steadily, why isn't that enough? Why have to steamroll it and push it as fast as you can, and then you lose so much of that. Like in the beginning, in the early days of computers, you had these companies that had amazing customer service. They had quality parts. They took care of their customers when things went wrong. And then Dell 20 years later became the devil of computing. Quality started suffering, everything started suffering, and it's all about increasing profits. And I think that's part of the problem with most industries, is that people make that first little taste, and then they gotta get more.
I don't think you're right. I think it's historically accurate, right? I think you're absolutely accurate. I have a tendency to just start talking and get off track, but let me get back to
I call it squirrel brain.
like freaking 10 minutes ago. All of our real world businesses, so some of our tech we've already licensed out, right? AI we've licensed out. I can't tell you who because I'm under an NDA. Our AI agents on the wellness side with the face scanning, I've already licensed it out. We have our medical clinics here that are driving revenue. And so the way that our tokenomics operate is that we're taking 50% of our cash flow across our entire ecosystem, and we're utilizing that to bolster the token, right? To do our own buybacks, to provide the rewards, to increase the value of the token. And so, and the cash flow is pretty significant. Like, I'll let you play this game real quick. So what is $200 a month times 9,000? What is that number? I don't have a calculator on me.
I think you cut out.
Oh, yeah, I did cut out. So did you.
Nope. Okay. No, that's me. Okay. Sorry. I'm back. I guess I had a little bit of a low point.
Yeah, cool.
But you said what's $200 times what?
9,000.
Times 9,000? You said 200, right? So that's 18, 180, 1.8 mil.
Times 12.
Times 12? So it's 12 mil plus. So, yeah. Let's see.
I'm going to make you work today. We weren't expecting this.
Times 12. 21.6 million.
Okay, cool. What that number represents is that is the membership fees that we bring in on an annualized basis for people having the privilege of coming to our clinic. And there's almost zero drag in operational expense against that. That is on
top of... Yeah, it's just straight membership.
Right, straight membership. That is on top of doing blood work, billing insurance, selling med spa packages at $5,000-$6,000 a rip, right? That's complete profit. And so we're about to open up another one of these clinics in Colorado, by the way. We have three currently, and we have several. We've got a hospital group here that wants to drop our clinic in all 26 of their locations. The problem is that's real expensive to expand that quickly. Yeah. So we're considering doing a small money raise on that side so we can actually get these things open and drive more revenue. But regardless, like just that number alone, we're taking that cash flow and supporting the token with that. Half of it.
Okay.
Right? And so that allows us to expand the ecosystem, give rewards, have staking pools, make sure that that we're essentially become a bit of a market maker behind the token, even though we'll have our own, right? It allows us to set the baseline floor, buy our token up, and ensure stability there. No different than a stock buyback would be in NVIDIA, right? With much smaller dollars, you know what I mean? So that's the way that we're operating inside of our tokenomics. So 35% goes to like ecosystem rewards, right? The normal 5-6% to, you know, your affiliates and groups and marketing agencies. We've got a chunk that, you know, some of these larger exchanges need a piece of the action, whether that's Kraken or whether that's Coinbase or MEXC, whoever that might be. You've got to allocate a small token pool for them. As far as like the founders rewards go, like we're sitting on less than like 8% on the founder side, right? So we're not trying to be greedy. We want to make sure that our tokens go to the right people for performing the right activities. And then you've got to make it fun. You've got to gamify the system. Anything from our patients here, making sure that you gamify that environment for them, to our AI wellness app, right? And for people performing the right activities and doing the right behaviors for taking care of their own health, my belief is when you gamify that, it becomes more interesting and they stay more connected, which allows me to have an impact on their wellness overall.
I mean, that's why things like VitePal and Finch are doing so well right now, because
totally
it, gamification, and it makes it feel like you're getting some result from doing a normal daily task that people are suffering to accomplish now. So yeah, I get it. Oh wow, there's just so much. I love AMAs, but I hate them because there's always so much to cover, always so much more that you want to like get through, but you know that you have limited time and you're like, ah, what do I touch on first? So but okay, so the token model, and like, how so you're going to be rewarding users at some point for their healthcare journey, basically.
Absolutely, yeah.
I know that there are some, and I know that one of our questions actually that we had selected, what was based on that, and like how you're going to be moderating those emissions, because that's another like completely crazy calculation that you really have to make, because if you end up getting 1 million users and you're giving out 10 tokens per users, that's 10 million tokens, and if you have a token supply of like, it gets really crazy if you think about it. And I'm sure you have thought about it.
We've thought about it. Well, to be honest, like I gotta bring in experts on this, right? We've got how deep do I want to go on this? Let me say it this way. Is that we have to think way outside of just simply healthcare, right? So here's the journey that we're on, just to let you know. So in real life, healthcare business, operating, flourishing, everything's great, right? We moved that over to telehealth. That transition happened about 45 days ago. We're doing a nationwide, I say nationwide, that's a stretch, 46 states, right? So I don't really, not that I don't care about Alaska, I just don't have the right licensure in a couple of states.
Yeah.
So for HRT, TRT, so testosterone therapy, hormone therapy nationwide, and then medical weight loss also nationwide through peptides and some GLP-1s, depending on the situation. So that's our kind of digital healthcare, if you will, through the telehealth side. And then from there, we move into immersive healthcare inside of the metaverse, right? That's the path that we're on. And so instead of being on a Zoom meeting with your provider, you're inside of a room with your provider in a healthcare environment where they pull up the X-ray, they zoom in on it, and you guys can fly to the broken bone together. Right.
Oh.
You have a heart condition. Well, not awesome. That's terrible. Right. But it's one of the reasons we work with a cardiologist so closely, is that when you do an EKG reading or an ECG reading, my dad just went through this. Right. He's 72 years old. And he went to like our cardiologist partner for obvious reasons, because we have one of the best. So he had a heart arrhythmia that happened. Right. And my dad, keep in mind, is also a doctor. Right. But he's not a specialist. He doesn't know the heart. And so when our physician partner, Dr. Jason Finkelstein, like talks to my dad, is like, hey, you got some heart arrhythmia. This is kind of going on. And he's like trying to pull a heart off of his desk and kind of describe what's happening and why it's happening. Well, that's great when you're in person. How much cooler is it when Dr. Jason could take my dad, literally like kind of just fly into a heart beating and show him exactly what's going on with his heart and what's happening. So your patient has an understanding of what's going on there. Most people are visual learners, right?
Yeah.
So when you can show them these things visually, it just builds a level of trust and like people get opened up and have surgeries all the time, hoping and praying they know what's going on inside of their bodies, right? And it, like, what if you could actually show them in an immersive environment?
Yeah.
By the way, like you can pull that off pretty easily, like inside of a NVIDIA driven, which is one of our partners, by the way, and that's why NVIDIA driven metaverse environment that's all in 4K. You can have some really cool like healthcare experiences inside of that space, right?
And they already have a lot of those like simulations where you can like for training purposes and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
For doctors where absolutely. So like it's just repurposing a lot of tech that's already been out there from the sound.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the tech that we're building Like, isn't some brilliant thing that we just woke up and thought about one day, right? Like, as an example, MIT, they're the ones that understood that there's a use case for the front-facing camera. Like, 11 years ago, MIT figured this out. But, like, nobody actually did anything with it. The cameras ended up getting a lot better than they were back then. And so, like, these aren't, like, super new ideas. Like you said, I think some of the best successes I've ever had in life is repurposing something, doing it a lot better, making it affordable to people, and building the proper team around it and the right processes around it. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to like wake up from a dream and be like, I know what I should build, right? And like come up with something brand new. I've never been that guy. I just know how to operate.
Yeah. So it's incorporating all that. I'm thinking through all of the information because like we've dumped a lot of information here, and I'm sure a lot of the friends are probably catching up too. Like just imagining the whole process, the healthcare clinics, the spa expansions, the clinic expansions with the hospitals. This sounds like the next major national like healthcare group almost is what you're building out with blockchain and a membership purposing instead of like gotta have insurance and the cool thing is do you guys require insurance to have somebody or is membership
we'll do cash pay
and now the membership gives you access to the clinics and the benefits. And then if you have insurance, that takes care of the cost of the medical services?
That's correct.
Okay. But if you didn't, then it would be cash pay based on whatever your rates are. Okay. Yeah. So it's not like you're paying and getting medical services for that membership specifically, but you're paying to get access to like an elite set of doctors and consistent 24-hour access and telehealth and all the other. It's almost like those plans that they have for your employer, like when you sign up for medical benefits, where you get like the telehealth access and stuff like that, and you can add that on. That's almost what that sounds like. So
similar. We work with a couple of employer groups that want to partner with us because they understand what we're doing, how we're doing it, and it's a model that they are currently utilizing.
Okay. Absolutely. And then you're leading into the data and storing and recording through the blockchain with the AI and actually like tracking your down to like the DNA of a patient and ensuring that you're not just tracking their current issues, but potential issues based on their DNA structure and their family histories and stuff like that. And then you have it all in one place. And now in the future, instead of like, let's say they're traveling and they don't have access to your clinic. And like, are you guys planning out to build for the future where other providers would be able to access that data with like an approval so that would be readily available. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that mechanism is available now across the United States. And so, man, I already feel, don't take this the wrong way because I'm super playful, but I already feel scolded for like going too deep and going in too many different directions. But it's fair because it's hard to consume it all. Right. If this is your first time experiencing who Ravani is, what we're about, what's our heartbeat, you start throwing a bunch of different things around. I can understand how that can get a little bit confusing. Like, does this company even know who they are? I can assure you one that we do. We have a partnership. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, so I'm not. But we have a partnership on the mental health. I'm into complete full wellness. Right. And what wellness looks like today, my belief is, personal belief, right, is that there's a couple of core components to it. It's physical well-being, it's emotional well-being, it's mentally stable, and there's a spiritual aspect to it. That's just my belief, okay? So Ravani currently, we have the expertise and the knowledge to know how to deal with the physical side, right? And the emotional side often plays into that, right? It just really does sometimes. Is that when your health is off balance, you can get emotionally, you can have gyrations there. Let me say that. But we have a partnership on the mental health side through our telehealth business where I'm not an expert, where somebody can come through Avani, get a mental health appointment, and they're connected to an actual like psychologist, right? An expert in that field. So there's times when we're not the experts there, but I have the ability to make those connection points and allow people to get things done in a very cost-effective manner, right? Yeah. So, I just lost my train of thought. That's so rare. that's weird. That doesn't happen to me very often.
Yeah, going from the micro to the macro, I think is kind of where we're at. Like taking it from like all the individual points and the data that we had to try to consume. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're making those connections with doctors now. So we can onboard providers. We put them on chain. So any provider that works on our system is on chain, by the way, right? Even on the telehealth side, really important for us. So if somebody, one of our physician partners, say in Seattle, Washington, right, has 4 hours free one night and wants to take on a telehealth patient, once we vet them and once we give them their key, so every time they access the system, we're tracking that interaction through the blockchain, right? That was important to me because I need to know what these physicians are doing, how much time they're spending with these patients. I don't get to see the personal health records, right? I have no business seeing HIPAA records.
Yeah.
But I need to see those interactions and like what's actually happening, because just like you mentioned earlier, we do not want greed to get in the way, and we're not going to have people saying that they recommended one thing and doing another, or understanding through the blockchain that they might be giving out the same prescription over and over and over when it's not necessary, as an example, right? And being able to trigger those things through AI is important to us.
Or like over recommending services that aren't necessary and stuff like that. I'm sure that you can do a bunch of analytics around that and track it and make sure that you're, and I mean, there's always going to be a failure rate. I mean, but so long as you guys stay within an acceptable percentage that people are doing this and root out those issues when they do arise, then you're doing the best that you possibly can as the people operating the business and controlling the ecosystem. So, I mean, that's and blockchain helps great with that.
It's incredible at that. It's absolutely incredible at that. Yeah. One of the best use cases, I think.
I do want to start touching on the questions. I know it's almost noon now. So I'm East Coast. I'm in Pennsylvania. So I'm actually hoping, like when you say Colorado, I'm like, oh, they're getting closer, you know? but we do have quite a few questions from the friends. We've gone quite a bit into it. One thing before we start diving into those, I know you guys have kind of been doing like a whole big rebrand, right? Because I remember at one point you guys had a Discord, you guys had a website. Because I remember you guys from the Mindshift Meta days. Like,
you really? Okay.
Yeah, I was supposed to be one of the guys who tested the game back in the day when they were bringing in people to like play around on it and stuff. Cool. And sadly enough, I ended up missing the event day. And yeah. But there was a little confusion behind it. But so I know you guys are doing a lot of rebranding. And usually what we do is before we dive into an AMA, we like to come prepared. So in a lot of cases, we'll have a project Monday. And we didn't do that in this case because Ravani right now only seems like they have the X and the Telegram. Or how long do you guys think it'll take to like get more information out there around like a website to explore everything, the white paper for the tokenomics and other aspects of the blockchain side of things?
Yeah, good question. The white paper is done. It's done. It's there's a lot in there because it goes over the there's not a light paper. What we need to develop is a light paper, right? The white paper is completed. Here's the thing. This is just from my perspective only, and I get that my perspective as a human being can be broken. I do not like Git book white papers. I don't like it. I don't understand why people do, if I'm being honest. I think it's a cumbersome, clunky way to review information. I don't know why Web3 likes it so much. But that's like what the expectation is. That's how people like to get their white papers. So, but ours is probably 80 pages long. Going over the entire ecosystem, exactly how everything works, very, very detailed. And putting that inside of a Git book, I think, is nonsensical. Like, it's just too much information. I'm trying to jam in a slideshow presentation, essentially, is what Git book is. The website itself, we had to, after the rebranding, after we changed the go-to-market strategy from healthcare forward, I put up my own personal website. I built one. It was okay. It was decent. I'm not a true
Notion's pretty good for it.
Notion is pretty decent for it. Oh yeah. You're right. Notion is pretty decent for it.
And now they have the AI feature too, that you can search and summarize and stuff.
Yeah.
That just a suggestion there. Or a PDF. I mean, just having a PDF that you can download while you're on the go.
I really am. I'm a PDF.
Yeah. Guy. I love PDFs. And you can reference that document and have it summarized through GPT and get to the aspects that you're really looking for, almost like using an AI, like a search bar, but with AI, it's so much more enhanced. So, I've been teaching these guys how to use AI for different things and just to make their life easier. And you guys are using AI, too, to make people's lives better. So, but, yeah, I love it. Because toss it in. I'm looking for everything around the token aspect of Ravani. And then it will go through the entire document. It'll pull all the relevant token data for you. And then it'll give you a nice either a detailed summary or a nice, little – summarization explaining it for you. It's usually my go-to route when I'm exploring things initially, just to get a good high level overview of things.
I have a Zoom meeting that starts now. I'm looking at them on my screen right now.
So we thought we had more time than we did. What we can
waiting for me. They're just kicking it.
What we can always do is we can call this part one, right? We did cover quite a few of the questions with just our general conversation. And we can always run this back another week and have you guys come back in and present again for the friends.
And that'd be cool. And hold on. Okay, sorry guys, 1 second. I'm sorry. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, no problem.
No, I muted everybody else on my other. Okay, cool. Here's the really good news about that, right? At that stage, so I've got a web developer building out a new website. I reviewed it yesterday. There's some changes that I needed to make before I allowed it to go live, because I really wanted to kind of have it live for the show so everybody can go there and kind of check it out. I'm not a perfectionist, right? I think that's problematic if you just turn things on and then just make iterational improvements. There's just some things that I didn't really like about it. And so by the next conversation, that white paper, we'll probably condense that down a little bit into a light paper, add some graphics to it. And then our website will be live also, for sure. Even if we did it 3 days from now, all those things would be true. So let's do that, man. Let's do it. And then we'll have some additional content that we can talk about.
Yeah, we'll run a whole nother Ravani week with the relaunch of the website and everything, get you back in here and have some fun with that. One question I will ask you to answer before you go, will you guys be using, establishing infrastructure for Africa or other nations?
100%. Super passionate about that, yeah. We'll maybe talk about this the next round. Through the solar company, I was able to put water wells all over Africa, all over Nepal, solar powered desalination plants. I'm super passionate about that area of the world. And they don't have the same access to first world healthcare that somebody
in Texas
does. And that's crap to me. I don't like that. And while I have limitations there because I can only do things from a wellness perspective, right, because I don't have the licensure in Africa, at the same time, we can give crazy, really, really good information. And my hope and belief is that we can have an impact on healthcare there long term.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, health, food, and shelter, like basic necessities of life, and you're helping to improve that.
Absolutely.
And especially in a region where it's sorely needed. So we did a thread contest where they like highlighted issues in their regions that they're native to. We got submissions from like South America, Africa, Southeast Asia, and like you can really see the difference, and similarities too, honestly. But we'll definitely get you back up here another time, Josh. Do you mind Josh or do you prefer Joshua? I never asked.
Either one's great. Yeah, no. Everybody calls me Spivey once they get to know me because Spivey. There's, you know, a million Joshuas in the world, but
yeah, that's true.
Joshua is fine.
Big J.
There you go. I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. So we'll get you back here the next time. I know you have the Zoom meeting. Next time we'll try to schedule out a full 2 hours if you want to sit here for 2 hours and just explain it out really well. And right, of course, I'll have the recording for you guys if you guys want. And yeah.
All right, bud. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Have a great day, Josh.
All right. Thanks. You do the same.
All right. All right, friends. Thanks to our friends at Ravani for coming and joining us today. This was an awesome